from the national office. I'm on the team there at Existence. Pastor at large there, that's just, I told them as they could call me pastor at large as long as they didn't call me large pastor. Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you this morning. I sense God's presence here. I know he's here. We always know he's here with us. But there are times you sense the manifest presence of God, that he's working in a special way, and it may just be in my heart, it may be in yours as well. But I'm very thankful to be here. I want to say thanks to the worship team. Beautiful time of worship, leading us to glorify and lift up Jesus. That's what it's all about. I'd like to start by just sharing a little bit about my family, who we are. My wife, Ann, is with me this morning. Ann, just lift your hand there. Ann and I have a beautiful family. We have two kids and four grandkids, and they all live right here in San Diego. So we are blessed. We served for 25 years with the Christian Missionary Alliance as missionaries in Peru and Ecuador. And just came back in 2011 and have had a great experience on the field. We saw God do some awesome supernatural things. And then as we come back here, we continue to see him working in the lives of people and churches. And I have the privilege of being a church liaison with the National Office of the Alliance. I live in San Diego, which is great. And then I'm able to travel the whole West Coast. They also assigned me Puerto Rico since I speak hablo español. And so I speak Spanish, and so I love what I'm doing, to be able to minister also at Existence Church, and then to travel and meet with pastors, missions committees, talk about what God is doing globally is exciting. So I hope I'll be able to come back and do that with you at a later date. You're in a series that is called One Word. I put my word up there, but I think it is one word. And in this series, we're asking God to guide us in this year through giving us a special word that he can use in our lives and that will make an impact on us, but also an impact on others. We can all remember words and sayings that our mom and dad taught us when we were growing up. I remember a few from my life. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Another one. Clean your plates. There are children starving in China. I'm not sure how that helped the children in China, but that's what they always told us. Third, don't talk with your mouth full. I learned that when I was a boy, and I sometimes observe it. The next one, show respect to your elders. Show respect to your elders. And then one that maybe wasn't in your house was change your underwear every day. You never know if you're going to be in an accident. Very practical. You know, there are words that impact our lives. They help to guide our choices, and they also help to create our values in our life. And this morning, as we talk, we're talking about receiving a word from God that will guide us through this year and help us become more like Jesus. And as we do that, we come to God and we ask him, God, what is a word that you might want to use in my life throughout this next year? Now, we've been doing this for about 4 years at Existence Church. Every year in the beginning of January, we take about 3 or 4 Sundays to talk about one word. What is the one word that God wants to give us? And as we do that, it's been a word that has impacted me. And I'll share my word for last year. And then as we go forward, perhaps share a little for this year. My word last year was delight. Delight. You see, I grew up in a healthy home. My dad was a pastor with the Alliance. My granddad was a pastor with the Alliance. I have that as a heritage in my life. And as I grew up in the South. I grew up in the Southeast, the Bible Belt. Well, what happens in the Southeast, in the Bible Belt, is that there are lots of do's and don'ts that get added on to the gospel. When I was growing up, don't dance. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't go to movies back then. A lot of don'ts that became a part of what the gospel was. And as I grew, some of those stayed with me. And some of that legalism that attaches itself to the pure gospel stays with our lives. Well, I sensed that God was saying to me that he wanted to do a new, deeper work of grace in my life this past year. And he wanted to do it through the word delight. And he gave me two verses that kind of helped me to understand a little bit more the gospel and his grace. The first verse was Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now that verse, sometimes we pick it out of Scripture in order to go to the second part. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But the first part is key. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does it mean to delight in the Lord? What does it mean to light up every time you come into His presence? What does it mean to realize how great He is, how awesome God is, how loving He is, and how much He cares for us? To delight in the Lord. But there was a second part of that delight that I needed to learn last year as well. And that is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, it's easier for me to center on the fact that I need to delight in God. I know that's part of what I need to do as His child. It's a lot harder for me to realize that God delights in me. We sang that song, He's a good, good Father. That's who He is. And I am loved by Him. Amazing. That God would love me with all of my faults, with all of the things that I do that are that I sin sometimes, and I turn to Him and ask to have for forgiveness. He delights in me. What does that mean? I always go back to my grandkids. 4 grandkids, beautiful grandkids. Probably the most beautiful grandkids in the world. But I always go back to that fact that when my grandkids come in to my house, I light up. It's amazing the way I love to see them when they walk in the room. I love to hug them and tell them I love them. To turn that around and understand that God is excited about us coming to His presence, that He delights to see us, that He loves us, and is not coming out of condemnation. That word delight has transformed my life in the past year, and that was my one word for last year. So my question is, how do we receive God's word for this year? Well, I think there are a couple of things that God has put on my heart to share with you this morning. And the first is, well, how do we hear God's voice? What are some of the things that God uses to help us hear His voice? If you have a Bible in John chapter 10, I didn't put the verses up on the screen, so hopefully you have one you can grab there. John chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 1. Jesus, the context is Jesus is talking with His followers. He's just healed a man who was blind. Pharisees have come up and have questioned Him about that. And now Jesus goes from spiritual blindness to talking about, He goes into a talk about sheep that are probably nearby, and He's probably using them as an illustration. And He says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. We're in John chapter 10, verse 5. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who entered, whoever came before me, were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Just a couple of observations from the text to help us understand how to hear God's voice in our life. The first is, to hear God's voice, we must have a relationship with Him. In verse 3, it says, He calls His own sheep by name. Verse 4, His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. In verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. You see, God hears us when we call. It doesn't matter whether we know Him or not. When we cry out to God, He hears us. But that consistent, intimate conversation is reserved for those who are part of His family. You know, Jesus talks about, and in the New Testament, it talks about the gospel. The word gospel means good news. What is the essence of the gospel? The essence of the gospel is this: there's bad news and there's good news within the good news. The bad news is that we're broken, that we are infected by something called sin. And because of that, we tend to move towards sin. We have a hard time saying no to things that are contrary to God's will. We're broken. We're separated from God. The good news is that Jesus came, and He came and lived a perfect life. He was born into, became a human. He was God. He is God. And He came and He took our place on the cross. He took that sin, and He paid the price for it. And now, because when I believe in Him, the good news is I receive eternal life. And not just eternal life, I receive abundant life. Abundant life for now. Life that changes and is fulfilled. And that's the good news of Jesus. But to get to the good news, you have to pass through the bad news. I'm broken. I recognize I need Jesus. I need a rescuer in my life. For you see, to hear God, we need to become a part of His family. Now, as I said, that first cry to God, God, forgive me. God, save me, begins that process. I still remember the birth of our 4 grandchildren. It began a relationship that continues to bring joy to our lives. We desire to be with them. We love to talk with them, even when I don't understand what the youngest one is saying. They're my priority. Why? Because we're family. We're family. Jesus tells us that we become a child of His when we believe in Jesus and receive Him as our rescuer. You want to hear from God? You want to hear a word from God? You need to have that relationship with God. The second thing is, to hear God's voice, we must believe that He still speaks today. We must believe that He still speaks today. There are a lot of philosophies around that kind of bombard our life. The first one, probably none of you hold to this philosophy because you're here this morning, and that's the philosophy of atheism. Atheism says God does not exist. There is no God. We're on our own. Well, if you believe that, then you will not hear a word from God, okay? Because you're not expecting to hear God. Now, He may break into your life in an awesome way, and you may suddenly realize, hey, there is a God. But that's one philosophy today. There's a second philosophy that's a little more prevalent, and that is deism. What does deism say? Deism says God exists. God exists. He created the world. He put everything in place. He gave us the gospel, but now we're on our own. Okay? He no longer is interested, and He no longer speaks into the world today. That's deism. The third is theism. Theism says that God is a creator who wants to have a relationship with us. He created us. He continues to be active in our world, and He wants to have a relationship with us through His Son, Jesus. And God has spoken in the past, and He continues to speak. And then there's another one that's within religious, or within the church, perhaps we could say. And there's one called cessationist. Cessationist. Now, what is cessationist? Cessationist says, God spoke one way in the past. He doesn't speak that way anymore today. God spoke through things in the Old Testament, but He only speaks through His Word today. And I would like us to consider that sometimes we put God in a box. We begin to have our theology, systematic theology, and God has to fit in within those 4 squares of the box. And if He gets outside of those 4 squares, then hey, there's something wrong with what we're seeing. It doesn't go with reality because it's only in the box. And I want to tell you that God is beyond the box. God is awesome. And God can do what he wants to do. And he speaks in different ways to us today. And as you look at God speaking through the Word, through his Word, do we really believe that God still speaks to us? Do we really believe that today I can hear a word from God? How does that happen? It happens, yes, through his Word. God's, the Bible, is the Word that God has given us. These letters that were written have been put together, and the Holy Spirit directed all of that. And as he did, we now have the Bible that's inspired by God. It's inspired by God. He speaks to us through it. And this is his love letter to us. But there are other things in the Old Testament. What are some of the ways that God spoke? What's that? Through people. Okay, he spoke through his prophets. How else? Through the Spirit, God's Spirit. How else? What's that? Muy bien. Dreams. I'm going back to my Spanish roots. Dreams and visions. He spoke through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. And there were many other ways that he spoke in the Old Testament. Does he still do that today? Yes. In the New Testament, it never tells us that those things have ceased. Paul received a word from God. They received letters from the apostles, and they used those, and they became part of our Bible. And God spoke through them. And so God still speaks. If you want to hear a word from God, you have to believe that God is speaking and wants to speak to you. Just one important word, and that is the words we receive must line up with what the Bible says, with what the Word of God says. I've known people that have said, God told me I'm to get a divorce. You've seen others where God has, people have said, God has told me to kill this person. We see that in the news every now and then. Well, that doesn't jive with God's Word. It doesn't sit with God's Word. God loves life, he tells us in the Scripture. He values it. And so we have to, when we receive a word, we've got to go back to the Word of God and say, is it in unity with the Word of God? If it's not, then it's not a word from God. I just encourage you. The third thing I see as we look at this passage is that to hear God's voice, we must have a posture of obedience. A posture of obedience. In this teaching by Jesus, it's clear that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and then what do? They follow him. They follow him. When it says they follow him, they obey him. And it's interesting. It says they won't obey another voice. They get to know that shepherd's voice, and when the shepherd comes and begins to speak and begins to lead, then they follow him. That comes back to that relationship. Do we know Jesus? Is he Lord? That means, is he the master? Is he the one that's directing my life? And am I willing to submit to what his leadership is in my life? And so we need to listen to him and follow him. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And as I was thinking about this, why would God even bother to speak to us if he knows ahead of time that every time we're going to say no? If God speaks and we never respond to that prompting of the Spirit, if we never listen to his voice, why would he continue to speak to us in different ways? Now, he does because he's gracious, because he loves us and he's merciful. But he expects us to respond with an obedient spirit. You see, to hear God's voice, we must have that posture of obedience. I hear his voice, I'm a sheep, he's a shepherd, I follow. And then finally, to hear God's voice, we must be intentional. Intentional. You see, hearing a word from God doesn't just happen. We must be intentional to listen to him, to hear what he says, and to understand. It's easy to hear, but not listen. We hear the words, but don't process them. We don't understand them. We don't act upon them. To hear God's voice, it requires time to get into God's word, to allow him to speak, to have a little silence in your life, and to say, God, would you speak to me through your word? Now, Ann's here this morning. I found as a husband that I am listening challenged at times. Now, there are times that I hear Ann, but I don't actually listen. Sorry. Has that ever happened to any other man here? No. Okay, good. I'm the only one. It happens like this. I'm watching football. My wife begins to talk about a different subject. There's a great play coming there. And often I say, uh-huh, or yes, or I'll nod, but I'm not actually listening. Often when that happens, I'll hear three words from Ann. Look at me. Look at me. Why does she say that? When she says that, I know I'm busted. That she knows I'm not actually listening to her. And so I have to focus my attention on Ann and have to be intentional about hearing her. See, that's the way it is with God. I believe God speaks a lot more than we actually think he does. That he's constantly, through his Spirit, speaking to us throughout the day. And yet, we're not in tune to it. It's like we're on a different station of the radio. And we're not picking up what he's saying. In order to respond to God, we have to listen. We have to respond to his voice. Well, there are some obstacles to hearing God's voice that I think are very common in our lives. And that first obstacle is that we live noisy lives, don't we? We live noisy lives. You see, there are messages that are constantly bombarding us. There are TV messages, there's commercials, there are signs all around us, there's radio, there's cell phones, there's iPads. And those things are constantly coming at us, and we receive so many messages every day. And it's hard to quiet our minds in order to hear from God. Many of us are afraid of silence. What do we do when silence comes into our life? We fill it with something. We fill it with TV. We fill it with the radio. We look for someone that we can be with, unless you are someone who is an introvert, and then you may want to be by yourself. But we always fill something in our minds, because silence tends to be awkward for us. And we're not comfortable being quiet. But I would encourage us to allow silence to become a part of our lives. The second obstacle is that sometimes I love my voice. I love my voice instead of God's voice. There's a sense of independence that we've been, that's part of our lives, and that's part of the fall. We naturally want to do our own thing. And you see, sometimes we have this idea, and we don't say it out loud, but sometimes it's there in the background. No one is going to tell me what to do, including God. No one's going to tell me what to do in my life, including God. That comes from our independent society. We're told to stand on our own feet. We're told you can be whoever you want to be. We're told you don't need anyone to become who you can be. But I want to tell you today, we need God. We need God to break into our lives. We need God to touch us. We need God to give us life. And one of the problems is that we often love our voice over God's voice. We prefer to hear our voice instead of God's. There's a third obstacle, and I call that selective hearing. Sometimes we only want to hear what we want to hear. You see, we often accept part of God's truth, but when it's inconvenient for us, we throw out the rest. I'm positive in your life, as in my life, there are certain passages I love to go to. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Delight yourself in God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But there are other passages we sometimes avoid, sometimes because we don't understand them, and it takes time to get in the Word and to study and understand what he's saying. But other times it's simply because it doesn't correspond to what we want to do. And so instead of saying yes to God, we say no. And we concentrate on what we want to hear. And we do that, I think kids do that in our homes, don't they? You'll say, I told you that. And they'll say, I didn't hear that. You know, they only heard the one part, ice cream. They didn't hear the other part, clean your room. Okay? And so there's selective hearing that takes place. And it's one of the obstacles we have. And then there's another obstacle, and that's indifference. indifference. Sometimes we're just not sure that God still speaks, and we're content with not hearing Him. You have to want to hear God's voice in order to receive what He has to say. Now understand that there may be people here who are you're in a process. Maybe you don't come every Sunday. Maybe you're checking things out. You're beginning to understand in your life there is a spiritual element. What does it look like? I don't understand it all. And I would encourage you to continue on, to continue moving toward God because He's moving toward you. But I also think that I want you to understand God is alive. That God is here. That God loves you. He wants to speak into your life. And I would encourage you to have a posture of seeking Him. So there are some obstacles, but let me finish up by giving a few action steps this morning and then we'll conclude. The first action step begins with a question. Are you part of God's family? Are you part of God's family? You know, sometimes we think everyone is part of God's family. And I want to tell you this morning that everyone is part of God's creation. He created us all. But not everyone is part of His family. Listen to this verse in John 1:12. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Those who receive Him, and believe in His name. What does believe in His name? Believe in who Jesus is and what He did for us. When we believe that and receive Him as our rescuer, as our Savior, we become children of God. How does that happen? First, you recognize that you've blown it spiritually, that you're disconnected from God, that you have sinned against God. You simply come and say, God, I know I've blown it. Here I am. You believe that Jesus is the Savior or the rescuer who has come to rescue you and that you need rescuing. And third, you simply ask and say, Jesus, would you save me? Would you come into my life? I'm at the point where I'm willing to turn my life over to you. So first, you need to be part of God's family. The second action step, intentionality. We need to set aside time to listen and respond to God. The psalmist in Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When can I go and meet with God? You know, I think it's a great practice to have some place in your home where you can go and meet with God. Now, for some of you who may have small children, it's a whole lot more difficult. Kids tend to get up really early. And so sometimes they're up early and you go all day with them. But you need to find some time where you can sit in silence and say, God, speak to me. How about that favorite chair? I have a chair at home where I love to sit by the window. And in the morning, I can meet with God. I would encourage you to find a place, set aside a time, and go in asking God to speak. You know what that means? That means not only do you give Him your requests, but it also means you listen. And you say, God, is there something you want to say to me? I'm looking for a word from you to guide me this year. Would you give me that word? And He may give it to you as you open the word and begin reading. He may give you a word that continues to resonate in your spirit. The third one, action step, resolve to obey. Resolve to obey. You see, those who enter the military are taught a phrase, and that is, sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. I need to have an attitude with God. This attitude is a response where I come into His presence and I say, the answer is yes. I don't know what the question is or what you're asking me yet, but my attitude is this. The answer is yes. I surrender to you. I know you have my good in your heart, and the answer is yes. We need to resolve to obey. And then finally, we need to ask. There's a verse in Scripture in the New Testament in John that says, ask and you'll find. Seek and it will be open to you. Knock. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. There's that sense that there's some work involved. There's some intentionality involved in hearing from God. And I would encourage you, as you ask God, give me that one word that can direct my life. Then you would listen, and you would respond in obedience to God. You know, last year was a highlight for me as I concentrated on delighting in God and understanding that God delights in me. I'm asking him for a new word this year. I'm still in the process of trying to understand what he's saying. The word that I'm hearing so far is the word deeper. And even in some of the songs that we sang this morning, those were words that echoed in my spirit. And as I've gone into Scripture, I've begun to see he wants me to go deeper with him this year. He also wants me to go deeper with my relationships with others. I tend to be a person who has a lot of people I call friends on a superficial level. I don't have very many deep friends. God wants me to go deeper. What's he saying to you today? You know, as we finish the sermon, this teaching this morning, God still speaks to his children. The question is, are we listening? As we pray this morning, I've mentioned that one of the things that was required in order to hear consistently from God is to be part of his family. And I just would ask that you'd have your head bowed and your eyes closed. There may be someone here this morning who says, I understand the gospel. I understand that Jesus is God. He died on the cross for me and took my place and my sin. And this morning, I want to become one of his children. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to be my rescuer and save me. And I'm willing to say, Jesus, I blew it. I'm a sinner. I need you. Would you come into my life? If there's anyone here this morning, no one's looking around, would you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Maybe we're all part of his family this morning. There may be someone who says, God spoke to me. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to become one of his children this morning. I want to give him my life. I'm going to have a word of prayer. For the person who raised their hand, I would ask you to just pray and follow my prayer and make it a sincere part of what you say today and to God. Dear Jesus, I recognize that I've sinned a lot against you. Gone my own way, and I'm separated from you, God. I don't want to live like that any longer. Forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. And Jesus, I believe. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you paid for my sin. And right now, I receive you as my Savior, the one who rescues me. And I also want to say that you can be the Lord of my life. You're the one in charge. Help me to understand what that means. Jesus, change me. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray.